Welcome to Seeds Church Podcast. Well, it's December, which means Christmas is right around the corner. And today we are in our series, Jesus, Light of the World. So wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Good evening. I hope you're doing well. My name's Jonathan. My pleasure to tell you that in 24 days' time, you will be stuffed full, most likely. 24 days is all it's going to take until the big day, where we will be madly rushing around between different families, eating too much and exchanging presents. Some of us will be wondering, how do we take that stupid present back or give it to somebody else? Some of us will be stressed between now and then. Some of us will find this time of year and this next 24 days way too busy. Some of us will find this time really lonely and will grieve and will struggle with all the implications and the things that we've lost. Some of us, and a lot of us in our society, will forget that Christmas is actually meant to be about Jesus. So in the best way possible, I want to remind you that Christmas is about Jesus. It's about him who the angels sang of. I hope angels look better than Lego ones with plasticine wings on. I want to remind you about his birth. I want to remind you about those who first saw what happened and the stories they told. I want to remind you, and I want to tell you, I want to talk to you over the next couple of weeks about the significance of his birth both then and what it means for us now. You know, I was here on Tuesday night, and Pilgrim School had their reception 1, 2, and I think 3, it might have been just reception 1 and 2 class here, and they were doing their production. And I mean, it's so cute. Like, it was unbelievably cute. There was a little angel who had a little fairy light around his head, and his battery pack was sort of swinging around like a big tail out there, hanging out the back there. But as he was going, and he had one line to say, and he repeatedly said it over and over again, he was meant to, and the fairy lights that he had on top of his head sort of came down, and they got to his eyebrows, and eventually they came down onto his eyelids. But it didn't stop him, and he didn't move, and he just kept on going. Anyway, it was funny to me. The story, that what they were trying to do, what they were trying to portray in their own particular way, which was stunning, and I'm listening to it, I'm like, my goodness, well, I haven't spent enough time thinking about that. They were trying to portray what it was like in heaven when God was describing what was going to happen with sending Jesus into the world, and the disbelief of the angels. And I'm like, yeah, of course. They wouldn't have got it either. They wouldn't have understood it. They wouldn't have known what was happening. Of course, they would have been as shocked as those of us who think about it and go, the Son of God comes into the what? Into the world in the form of a baby? Of course, heaven would be like, God, have you been drinking from the eternal stream or something? Or like, what is going, do you know what I mean? Like, they would have misunderstood as much as we continue to misunderstand. So today and throughout this series, including the Road to Christmas, our Christmas services, we will pick up this theme, Jesus, Light of the World. And I remind you, as Bailey has already done that, but I remind you, and there's lots of ways we do it with the letterbox drops and a whole pile of stuff. I remind you that this is a great time to invite your friends. This Christmas narrative that we have is a beautiful story. And it stands strong by itself. And all we're doing is retelling it. So invite your friends. You never know. They might say yes. And they might come. I'm aware, though, at this moment in the time of our churches, in this time of our church's life, that there are a number of very significant health issues and other issues going on around us. And there just seems to be this growing number of people who are getting sick or who have needs and particular things that are extraordinary amongst the people that we know. Of course, our first response is always to pray, to bring our needs, to bring our worries, to bring our concerns and those things that trouble us the most, our heartaches before God. To that end, I'm asking all of us to pray in this season. This is Advent season that we're waiting for the birth of Jesus. And in this Advent season, I'm calling us, I'm encouraging us as a church to pray. There are three ways in which you can pray. Between the two services in the morning at about 10:20 in the back room, or the side back room, there's a prayer meeting. And you're most welcome to attend that prayer meeting. It's only a short one. And while that prayer meeting is specifically around Road to Christmas stuff, I'm sure God doesn't mind if we pray about other things. The second thing is that there's a prayer meeting that meets here at Wednesday mornings at 6 o'clock. And you're most welcome to be part of that. That brings the needs of our church before God. But the third thing is that maybe you can't do either of those two, but you might be able to set a reminder in your phone or in your diary or somehow, a time or just a few minutes before you have breakfast. And you sit quietly and say, God, I bring before you not my own needs, but for others. And I ask for those who I know who are sick, those who are unwell, those who are struggling, and I bring them before you. So I encourage you to do that. As we pray and ask our great God to bless us with his presence. Let me lead you in prayer at this moment. Lord, we do pray. We pray for the needs of our community. We pray for our own needs. We pray for those around us who we know who are struggling, who have so many issues and difficulties and extraordinary things happening at this moment. We pray that you'd be over all this, that your fingers would be visible and seen. That we'd understand what you're doing in this world and we'd be able to work in that. We pray for strength and courage. We pray for healing and even wholeness. We ask that in your precious name. Amen. So before we get to Jesus, we bump into actually Jesus' cousin, a very strange character by the name of John, or as some of you might know him, John the Baptist. And John was really a forerunner of Jesus and pointed the way to Jesus so that others might see the significance of who Jesus is and be ready to hear the words of Jesus. Now, John's father was a guy by the name of Zechariah who was a priest. And there's a big, long story around this, but let me just give you the abridged version. And he was told the news of the impending conception of his wife, that he was going to be a dad while he was ministering in the temple by an angel. Now, he didn't believe what the angel said, and so because of that, he was actually struck dumb for the whole time of the pregnancy of his wife, for John's pregnancy. And he was only able to speak when John was presented to the temple at 8 days old. And I like to think that the words that you heard read out tonight from Abby, which is often called Zechariah's song, or the Benedictus in the Latin, this benediction, that those words, I like to think those words are the first words that John has spoken after that 9 or so, maybe 10 months of silence. I don't know what you would say after 9 or 10 months of silence. Can you change the CD or can you do something? Or I don't know. But here he is. He gives this beautiful, this incredible prophetic praise to who God is. So I want to look at this tonight, and it really goes into three parts, and it goes into three parts really nicely. And it's actually a prophetic speech. It's actually foretelling what is going to be coming. So I want to hone in on that tonight. So if you've got your Bibles or if you've got your phone, I encourage you to pull it out. And we're going from Luke chapter 1. If some of it will be up on screen, but not all of it. And I'm going to work through the first two points quite fast, and I'll slow down a little bit in the third part. And the first part is this, and I'm asking the question of the text, what will God do? What will God do? And so in verses 68 of Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 75, we find a whole host of things on the lips of Zechariah, remember that's John the Baptist's father, that God will do. And we see from this man of God, he's a godly man, this one, a raft of things that God will do. Why? Because we get the strong sense and the strong understanding as we read through it, as we read, of course, the rest of the New Testament, that God is active in the world like never before. And God is doing things. He's undertaking a whole host of actions that will help and facilitate the growth or the salvation of humanity. So let me spend a few moments. Verse 67. It says there, he has come to his people. That's God. He has come to his people and he has redeemed them. Verse 69. He has raised up, it says, a horn of salvation. Literally that word there, horn, means something strong, or in this context, it means a strong king. So it's being, what's being said here is that God is bringing about a strong king who is the embodiment of salvation, who was told by, foretold by about by prophets so long ago. Verse 71, this salvation that this strong king will bring is from our enemies, from even from those who hate us. Verse 72, he will show mercy and remember, this is God is doing this, show mercy and remember his past promises to us. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, it's full of promises of protection for the people. Verse 74, yet again, to rescue us from our enemies and take away, and this is really significant, I haven't got time to go into it, but ponder this during the week, take away our fear of God. And verse 75, it implies that we will have a new standing, a new relationship that is ours before God. These are the things that God will do for us and with us. And these are the promises that we hear on the lips of this godly man, this prophet, Zechariah, this new father. Now we need to understand, when Zechariah is speaking these things, these are not good ideas. These are not suggestions that Zechariah was making that God could do. These were not vague notions that he hoped that maybe someday, somehow, God would undertake. These are prophetic words that are accurate. They are pinpoint in their accuracy, and their definitions of what God is actually up to and what God is actually going to do. Not only was Zechariah happy that he had a son, because he was old of years and his wife was old of years, he was overjoyed, more importantly, to understand the bigger picture of what God was up to in the world. And through the child who was to be born, whose name was Jesus, God was bringing this incredible seismic action for all of humanity. And I wonder, when I twigged to not only was Zechariah happy that he was having a son, but he was happier, is that a word? He was happiest. He was increasingly happy to see what God was doing in the world. And when I twigged on that, I thought, is our heart big enough to see what God is doing in the world, overshadowing other things? I wonder, and here I think this is more the point, I wonder if we are all too distracted and we miss the work of God that's right under our noses. You see, since the beginning of time, God has been and continues and remains to be very active in the world. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit, God increasingly is active and is active in your life. Don't doubt it. Active in your life. I love that song, Waymaker. God is here, moving in this place. It's stating a fact for us. It's telling us of a present reality. God is here, moving amongst us. My second point. Let me keep unpacking the passages. What will John do is the question that I'm asking. And we find the answer to this verse in verses 76 to 77. And again, on the lips of his dad, John's dad, Zechariah, who sees well into the future, very discerning man. Verse 76, he will be a prophet of the Most High. Now, I don't know if you remember, some of you were here when we did a Names of God series where we unpacked all the different, well, not all of them, some of the different names of God. And we run into this same name here, Most High. El Elyon literally means the God over everything. And lots of things that go into that. But this prophet part is that he literally will speak the highest God of everything's words. That's what John will do. And this is the most important part. He will go on before the Lord and prepare a way for him, or the way for him. If you were ever confused, if you read about John the Baptist, or you're going to read about John the Baptist and you're confused about what he's up to, this is it. He is simply a signpost pointing the way to Jesus. That's what he does. And it's amazing, I find it amazing. If you read back over the history of the Old Testament, you can see again and again and again, God has specifically put people in places to be signposts pointing to what was coming. And what was coming is the person and work of Jesus. And it tells us in a variety of ways how important Jesus is and the significance of his life. It tells me that God was incredibly serious about what Jesus was going to do and the effects that this had on the whole of humanity. And John the Baptist is simply the last line in a whole series of prophets that pointed the way towards Jesus. Now, there's no reason to doubt that Jesus, that God has done this for the coming of Jesus into the world, and that God continues to do this in your world even at this moment. That while God sent Jesus into the world in the form of a baby, God continues to send the Holy Spirit into your life even at this very moment. Even when you don't feel like God is close. There are many, many John the Baptists in your life and in this world. And every preacher that stands up is a John the Baptist type pointing towards Jesus. So John's message, what was his message? Verse 77, he was telling the world, telling all those who would hear him, telling them all that would listen to him about salvation, about forgiveness of sins. That it was coming and available through Jesus. My third point. Here it is. This is where the rubber hits the road. So in the first few verses, let me just sum up where I've been so far, because I'm moving around here a little bit. First few verses of this prophecy. My first point, from Zechariah, we hear about the promises that are coming, those that are coming through Jesus, what God was going to do. The second set of verses, my second point, we hear about the preparation for the way of Jesus, what John was going to do. Now, this third part, we get to hear about Jesus. What is Jesus going to do? It's this. Let me give it to you in a couple of different ways. First, that we'll have heaven's Son on us. Verse 78, which says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Literally, heaven's sun will shine upon us. I love that play on words. The sun of heaven will shine on us. Think about that for a moment. Jesus will make heaven's sun shine on us. Why? The text tells you straight away, because we have a God who is filled with tender mercy. He pours his mercy into our lives into our world who cares about your life. This is what this old prophet is saying, who God is. God is filled with tender mercy. And some of us, right at this very moment, need to hear that. Some of us need to know that God has us, that God has mercy on us. And some of us need to understand that at the right time, we will understand the shining of God's Son into our lives. Some of us need to rest in that and take it to heart. Let's move on, verse 79, because verse 79 makes this even more vivid for us. It says, to shine on those living in darkness. In other words, when you have no idea where the light is, when you feel trapped in a spot where there's no way out, when you cannot see a way out, God makes his light shine upon your life. You know, we need to understand that when this was written, People would really get this little bit of the passage. It's a time when the only light that you had was pretty well three things. It was either, this is darkness, in the darkness I mean, you'd either have the moon at night, you'd have some sort of fire, or you'd have a little sort of clay, like a little clay lamp. None of these were effective light bearers. They're not like the lights that I've got in my eyes at this very moment, let me tell you. They're not like a LED lights, or there was no street lights. Can you imagine walking home with no street lights? Can you imagine walking home with no light, with maybe a little candle that you're trying to stop the wind blowing it out? There were no head torches, there were no sensor lights, no house lights, not even the light off the computer screen so that you could get up at night or anything like that. There was nothing, no ambient glows even from the city. When it got dark, it got dark. Who's ever been out camping and had no lights? When it's dark, it gets dark. And you can well imagine why many people were afraid of the night hours in the darkness. Most people are afraid of the dark. So we might not know what real darkness is. We don't have to live with it 12 hours or 10 hours a day. We are blessed with as much light as we want. But we all know what it's like to have our life under a sense of darkness, if you get my meaning. To have a physical or a mental or a spiritual or environmental or situational darkness that comes over us like a dark cloud or a heaviness that comes over us. Everybody knows what that's like. All of us know the fear of living in a space like that too. But this is what Jesus comes into. To shine the light of heaven into the darkness of our life. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the light of the world. Jesus brings the light even in those places where we cannot see hope, where we cannot see light, where we are trapped because we cannot find a way out, where we are mobilized because the darkness threatens to engulf us. Jesus is the light bearer and the light bringer into your life, even if it's a darkness you don't believe can be alleviated. So let me tell you the truth. The darkness is afraid of God. The darkness runs from Jesus, and darkness hides from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Darkness cannot stand where there is light. And Jesus is the light of the world. But the passage goes on. In the second part of verse 79, it says, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. To me, what I'm hearing as I read this, or what I'm understanding as I read this, is that darkness is one thing, but then there's another level. And the other level, which really frightens us, is the level of death. I get the feeling here that there is an impending doom hanging over the readers. And the readers, and this speaks directly to us. You might have that impending doom hanging over you. This might be your exact thought tonight, but Jesus brings his light even into the darkness of death. You might be facing your first Christmas alone. I don't know what's going on for you. You might be struggling with some sort of relational breakup. You might be grieving the loss of a job or something else like that, the loss of something. You might be struggling with another thing so intrinsically private that you've never shared it with anybody. You might have a great shame inside of you. You might have even been given a terrible diagnosis. But what this passage tells us is that this Jesus, this baby born who was so long predicted about, will shine his light even into the shadow of death. I want to make this clear, and I want to pause here for a moment. It's important that we as a community know that there's one thing, though, that we might not like. Notice it says, he will not remove the shadow of death, but he will bring his light to bear into it. And it says, even the worst thing that we can imagine, Jesus becomes involved. Jesus' presence here connects us in a way that changes how and what we see. Because when the light comes into a room, the room stays the same, but we see it differently, don't we? I don't know what you or your families are facing this Christmas time, but I know Jesus does. He knows that even if you are facing significant things, his light is enough to shine into those dark spots and penetrate the ugliest of shadows. He knows that his light goes beyond anything that we can experience, and it brings about a change. That's true of you, as it's true of all of us. And that light does things to you and your situations and your families and your diagnosis and your loneliness and your shadows that you are not expecting. It changes everything. The last thing that Jesus will do from this passage, verse 79, and it's the third part, the C part. He will guide our feet into the path of peace. I think this is one of the most overlooked aspects of Jesus' work for us, to bring us peace. It seems to me that when Jesus brings his peace into our lives, you know what we can do? We can walk through anything. It's not talking here about a flippant peace, about, I've had a really hard day and I finally got the kids to bed and I can just get a cup of tea and put my feet up. That's so peaceful. It's not talking about that sort of level of peace. It's so much deeper than that. It's talking about a deep-seated, something that is beyond your satisfaction, something that tells you, I know where my bedrock is, something that gives you this sense that I can hang on to this sort of a peace. I haven't got enough words to explain the depth of this peace that we're talking about. But the Bible often talks about a peace that passes all understanding. And if you've ever had it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And what's Jesus going to do? He will guide our lives into his peace. Literally, if I bring all this together, all this stuff that I've been talking about, if I bring it up and bundle all together and put all in one sentence, is this: to make a path so that you can find your way out of the darkness and into the light of his peace. My friends, we're not talking about some beyond our sphere of understanding mystical space. It's not some metaphysical place where you got to go esoterically. It's not some reality that exists in the minds of those who have finally become fully enlightened. It's open to everybody, all of us, no exceptions. What this prophetic word is telling us is that this is what Jesus will do for us. This is what he set out to achieve, and we know that through his life, his death, his resurrection, he has achieved it. It's applicable for you, and it's available right now. And you know the funny thing? The crazy thing, amazing thing. All you have to do is ask. So I'm going to lead you in an asking prayer. So I invite you, would you like to close your eyes? Would you like to bow your head? I know it's really old-fashioned, but sometimes it helps us focus. And if it's your prayer, then say it in your heart with me. Dear God, please bring that into my life. Please bring me out of darkness, out of the shadow of death. Please bring heaven's sun into my life and direct me into a peace that is beyond my understanding at this moment, but that will hold me for wherever I'm going through. Amen. In my great grandmother's house in Wales, used to hang this picture. It now hangs in my office. It's up on top of my bookshelf, and it'll be up on the screen in a moment. You'll be able to see it for yourself. It's a Holman Hunt painting entitled Jesus, Light of the World. It's a very famous painting, made famous by the King's Speech movie. But what I find most comforting is the words. I want to read them to you tonight. It says, I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. And that shall be to you better than a light and safer than a known way. Would you stand as we finish in song?